Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. So today, James had me get in a stance to snap the ball because he was trying to talk about alignment of a tackle. So, of course, I'm down in the stance, which means my backside is facing the craft. And Pat took the picture and sends me a text that says, "Steve, great job today." And I said, "Please don't tell me that's my media guy picture." And he says, "It is now."
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Oh, my goodness. If you can't laugh at yourself, then you can't laugh at anybody. There you go. I mean, seriously. As you know. Unfortunately, that's the picture they're going to use. No. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
This one's walloped to center field. Back on it, Tavares. And she's gone! Third home run for Altuve. A blast to straightaway center field. It's 9-0 Astros.
Yeah, you had three home runs, three at-bats. You know, unlike Judge and Stanton, he actually has had big hits in the postseason. Have you noticed that? Just not as big as they are in terms of height.
I may have just thrown up inside.
Why? He's a good player. You know, it's funny. When he was at Tri-City, so he played against the State College Spikes. And he and Dallas Keuchel, I think, were on the same team. And Joe Musgrove, right? And I remember Musgrove pitching in a playoff game. And Musgrove was, not good. He was great. I'm like, holy mackerel. Keuchel was good. It's interesting with Altuve. I thought, well, he's good. You know, I mean, did I envision him having the kind of career he's had after watching him play against the Spikes? No. I thought he had a chance to make the major leagues, but not to be as good as he's been. And I know you don't like him. You think he cheated and this, that, and the other thing. But you know what? The guy can flat out play. It's hard to hit a baseball. You know? It's hard to field a baseball at that speed. It's hard to make throws at that speed. It's hard to hit a baseball at that speed. Right. And I know you don't like him because you think he is a cheater.
Correct, but you're right. He is a very, very good player.
He's very good. I mean, look, it's hard to do. I mean, yeah, you know, I always laugh about the golf part of it because in golf, you have to be completely silent. Okay. As you walk up to it, what isn't the ball doing? It's not moving until you hit it. It's just sitting there. And in baseball, you got people, you know, I know you hate the wave, you know, because you're anti-fun. But, you know, you got people doing the wave. They're all screaming and yelling. Yeah, they got two strikes. They're all standing, the whole deal. And you've got to hit a ball that's moving and not straight. It's hard. Hard to do. ESPN asked a question today, is this the best baseball season in years? Now, obviously, I know what your answer is going to be because your team's not doing well. I got that. So that's going to enter into anybody's answer, okay? That'll enter into anybody's answer. But in terms of the pure game, have you enjoyed the pure game of it this year compared to other years?
You know, at first I thought it was another dumb question by ESPN, but the more and more I've thought about it because of the rule changes, it's a legitimate question. Yeah, because yes, I have thoroughly enjoyed watching either full games or portions of games that I've watched this year because of the new pace of play and everything else that's been part of all new this year.
I feel like in terms of perception, I mean, perception is a big part of it. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know what the stats are about number of balls in play and strikes, strikeouts, walks, things like that. So I'm not going to pretend that I have all the research on that because I don't. So it's just on perception. The perception for me has been I felt like the pace has been better. I felt like not having shifts has opened up the field and given at least an opportunity to more offense. You don't feel like hits are being stolen by a shift where you got, you know, where a guy hits it in the shift and a guy's standing in shallow right field and throws a guy out of first base. It got to a point like no matter what game I was watching, games where I had no rooting interest at all, I'd be sitting like going, oh man. Okay, that's another out. And that's now changed. I like that. Bigger bases, I like that. That doesn't mean guys still don't get thrown out. They do. But this is a season where we've seen Ronald Acuña Jr. have, 30 home runs, 60 stolen bases? It's been phenomenal. And, I mean, even Shohei Ohtani has 20 stolen bases this year. I enjoyed the game more this year. There's certain things I'm still not quite on board with. One thing I'm absolutely not on board with, and it was not put in this year, I don't like the three-batter rule for relievers. I just don't. If a manager wants to change up guys and so forth, you know, instead of getting somebody comes in, they're stuck. I'm not big on you know, because anybody else that comes in, okay, for example, your starting pitcher, okay, is going along and is not stuck. If it's not going well, they take him out. But I've never been crazy about the three-batter rule. Now, you have a limited number of pitchers to begin with. You want to use eight pitchers, eight batters, go ahead. I have no problem with that. But everything else I really liked. The extra inning rule, okay. They put the runner on second, okay. In the minors, I'm completely for that. In the majors, I'm not. And the reason I'm for it in the minors is that one of the goals is you're in the minor leagues, you're playing games, but it's still development. And I don't need to be using extra pitchers and maybe slowing their arms down because I played a 14-inning game and a guy I was going to pitch on Tuesday I've got to use tonight. Because I think that then slows down the development of a pitcher. You know, to me, the runner on second is good for pitching staffs because you're trying in the minors to avoid that 14-inning game where now you're like, okay, I've used all these pitchers. I got to bring some guys back tomorrow. It's like it could be, you know, you're still in development in the minors. In the majors, I'd like to see it play out. And you can go to the minors to bring guys up and down. If need be, if you have guys that you used in a game like that. But everything else, shifts, I advocated for no shifts a long time ago. Never really heard of bigger bases till it was experimented with in the Atlantic League. Like how that's panned out. And the pitch clock, love it. And they're going to keep the pitch clock the same in the postseason. They are not going to adjust it. It'll be 15 with nobody on base, 20 with somebody on base. I think that, you know, I've enjoyed it. It's been a lot of fun. I thought the Yankees adapted really well to it. What did you think? No.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Sorry. Sore subject?
A little bit.
Wow. Kind of a bummer. Okay. So, can I bring up something with everybody about listening to the game in the stadium?
Yes, because we actually got a couple more emails about that today, which I did respond to. But, yeah, it's probably not a bad idea.
Well, okay. Okay, so... they've come up with a solution. And this is the part that always bothers me about this. Who's getting the emails? Who's getting the emails?
Well, that would be you.
Yeah. Who's getting the comments from people asking about it?
Also be you.
And who's the person that literally has nothing to do with it?
And you're 3 for 3.
Yeah, it's like... But I do my best with it. I've passed on everything I've been receiving to people that actually, who came up with, okay? So it sounds like what they want to do is this. On 99.5 FM in State College, they claim that they cannot remove the delay. Okay. But... they want to put it on 1450 AM and 103.7 FM, which, by the way, were two stations that carried the games last year anyway. And they would air the live broadcast without a delay. Okay? So that would be 1450 AM and 103.7 FM. Those have been the stations that carried the games last year anyway. Now, there are some conflicts along the way because those are the stations that carried men's basketball, ice hockey, wrestling, baseball, softball. Okay? So there may be a conflict or two in October or November, which they're going to work out. But that's what they want to do here in State College. Obviously, in the Valley, it's Eagle 107. There's no issue whatsoever. But what they did was is they put a translator. It's on the only station they put a translator on was 99.5. And they did it 2 weeks ago. You did it 2 weeks ago. Really? Okay. So what the proposal is they're going to then put it on same owners, Seven Mountains, 1450 AM and 103.7 FM. Okay? Which will cover the stadium. Okay? And I hope that helps everybody with the... with that. And hopefully that answers a lot of questions. That's my hope. I mean, I realize that I do realize I'm the front man. I mean, I realize that I'm the one that people are in contact the most. The people that actually make these decisions are always invisible. And it's like, okay, great. So I understand I'm the person people know. They know. Because believe me, if I could correct it, I'd have had it corrected within 10 minutes. I mean, like, we're done. But I don't own it. I don't run it. And all I can do is propose... solutions. The solution, by the way, that they've come up with, I actually am the one that proposed it. Thank you. But that was, you know, just in the hallway. I said, why don't you just put it on two other stations that are live? You can keep airing it, delay it on the other one. Right? So, yeah. Okay? So it sounds like that's what's the... if there's any change in this thing, then let me know. Okay? I will let you know if there's any change in it. But it was a big problem the other day. Not a small problem. It was a big problem. Yeah, people want to go into the stadium. They want to listen to the game. I mean, people even in the press box were saying, what's going on? And they look at me, what's going on? I'm like, I'm looking at me like, I don't know what's going on. Because I didn't know until Sunday. I'm like, really? We're delayed? Really? They just point me toward the field I talk, you know. Approximately 11,000 runners at this year's Mexico City Marathon have been disqualified after being found to have cut the course at some point during the 26.2-mile race. The disqualified runners represented more than one-third of the 30,000 individual field. Runners were disqualified after missing checkpoints that were placed every 5 kilometers. Some runners allegedly used vehicles or public transportation to cut the course. It's kind of like the Michael Scott run for to cure rabies. And several members of the staff got in a cab, went out and had lunch out on a patio, and then got back in the cab and went back to the finish line on the office. Race organizers said in the statement that they will continue to identify and disqualify runners who skip sections of the race. The Mexico City Marathon has had issues with rampant cheating in the past. In 2017, nearly 6,000 runners were disqualified for similar reasons, with more than 3,000 also being removed from the results the next year. Several members were members of the 2017 Houston Astros. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Just kidding.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Your people. By the way, tough news. Really tough news. Andrew McCutchen has had his season come to an end. He ended up tearing his Achilles. It has been one of the truly feel-good baseball stories of the summer, him coming back. And he had 12 home runs, knocked in 43 at 256, got his 2,000th career hit in June. He is at 299 career home runs. And, but unfortunately, he was legging out a double in the victory over Milwaukee on Monday night. Initially said he was fine, but now it's revealed there's a tear there. So he's going to be in a walking boot for 6 weeks. No discussion of surgery, but hard to see that. We'll take a break. The Brewers are beating the Pirates 3-2 bottom of the sixth. Guardians in a rain delay lead the Twins 1-0. Giants and Cubs are underway at Wrigley, scoreless in the top of the first. And the Yankees are facing the Toledo Mudhens tonight. Very nice. I didn't know you guys... I didn't realize they went to AAA.
Bingo!
Wow.
Why do you think Stanton hit his 400th career home run last night?
Oh, you're just so... just you're a cauldron of disgust.
I'm sorry. That was too easy.
Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
We'll be right back.
us on the show today, brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online, sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai. Great pre-owned inventory. Doug asked if there would be a slight delay if people listened over the radio anyway. Not really. But they put in a translator on 99.5. That's why. So it's like 9.5 seconds. But no. Maybe, is there maybe a half second? Maybe. But he did appreciate the comment where I referred to your contributions as a cauldron of disgust.
There it is.
When you go home and talk about the show, what do you say?
I don't know. It just whatever's on my mind from the show, I talk about.
So it's a lot of negative stuff.
I normally say guests that we had on, all that kind of stuff.
I see.
Or if I talk about the boys, I'll mention that.
Oh, good. Well done.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to America's Show of Polar Opposites. Positivity mixed with a cauldron of disgust.
I like the title, though.
All kidding aside, Matt's as good a guy as there is out there. So, all kidding aside, great husband, great father, great friend. So, a little touchy on some things, but that, you know, we're working through these issues.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Slowly but surely. Emphasis on slowly. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory with great warranties. Remember, we're at the end of the year stuff here. It's really cool. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a fabulous service department that backs it all up with great technicians every step of the way at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, so here we are heading into week two. Thursday night, tomorrow night, is the Chiefs and the Lions. The college game is Murray State and Louisville. If you want to get a head start at looking at Illinois, they play Friday night against Kansas. And, of course, Saturday's game with Penn State and Delaware is exclusively Peacock. So it is exclusively on streaming. There'll be all these other games that you'll see with Penn State. When they're on CBS, they'll be on Paramount Plus, but it's a combination. When they're back on NBC again, it's going to be NBC in a combination with Peacock. This Saturday, it's Peacock only. It's the one streaming only game that Penn State football will have this year. So, and I know you're saying that your father has it, right?
Correct. So I'm officially hooked up with that, and I'll be good to go.
Good. Michael Robinson, by the way, will be the analyst on the game. So, telling him about the other day, how proud I am of him with everything he's done. He's done so well with all this, and he expresses himself so well. But, yeah. And Brendan Burns is the play-by-play guy. I'm not sure if I've heard him before.
I haven't heard him either, but I know he does the Islanders on MSG.
Yeah, that I knew.
Yeah. And I think he started doing baseball's Game of the Week on Peacock, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
But I haven't heard him either.
Yeah, I've just never have heard him. Just like with Noah, I heard Noah do the Noah Eagle. I heard him do the Notre Dame game, which I told him. And but that really was the first time I'd heard him, because I know he had done some stuff with CBS, and I think he also didn't he do the Nickelodeon broadcast?
Yep, he still is doing that with Nate Burleson.
And the odds of me watching the Nickelodeon broadcast are, well, pretty much none.
I tried it the one time. It was cute. I didn't stay for the whole thing, but it was cute. It did what it's supposed to do.
Oh, no. I am not in any way, shape, or form putting it down, but, you know, I mean, come on. I mean, it doesn't exactly appeal to my age group. There's an age group it appeals to, and that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to appeal to a certain age group, and they're going to do the Super Bowl on there.
That's correct, yeah. They haven't announced the announcers yet for that, but I imagine it's got to be Noah and Nate Burleson. I mean, that's the team it's always been. I could be wrong. I don't know. It might be somebody else.
I don't know what Noah's contract would be. Is he now exclusively with NBC?
Oh, that's
Is
a good
he,
point, yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, that's
I don't
a good
know
point.
He, you know, I'm not sure what he'd be doing, you know. Or he may have an out in his contract that allows him to do it. We have more guys doing crossover stuff these days. So maybe he'll be allowed to cross over and do it. Because in a lot of ways, a lot of these guys have become independent contractors. Okay.
It's so funny now. He has his own style, but it's so funny. I swear he sounds so much like his dad, and I feel like I'm listening to Ian sometimes. Maybe it's just me, but I hear some of his dad in him occasionally.
People had said that to me, because I hadn't really heard him before. So I listened to I watched the Notre Dame game and listened to him, and I thought he did a really good job in the game. And I kept waiting for him to sound like his dad, and I didn't think he did. It's everybody has their own perception of something, and my perception was, he sounded like himself.
And more for me, it's more like in the intonation of his voice than it is the actual like delivery of the call. His delivery of the call is different, but just like his intonation just sometimes sounds similar to his dad. It's certain words.
Okay. I mean, because in talking to him just in casual conversation, I mean, I didn't even think twice about whether he sounded like his dad or not. He sounded like himself.
But overall, I loved NBC's broadcast. Like I said to you off air yesterday, I thought it was like watching another Sunday night game. I thought everything was brilliant from start to finish. The game broadcast itself, pre and post game, I really enjoyed it. They had some cool stuff during the pregame show. Like when they brought in the student section, when they storm in at the start of the game, when they first opened up the stadium, like I just thought it was really good, well done.
Well, you know what? They did throw the kitchen sink at it. I mean, that's something too. Because the guys that do Sunday Night Football, so the group that will do the Chiefs and the Lions game tomorrow night, a lot of the production people were here. So if you felt like it had that feel to it, there's a good reason for it. They had a lot of their Sunday Night Football personnel here for the game. Because, I mean, they need to get into the groove of things, too, as to what they want to do. And, you know, that's to their credit. I thought that they were all really well prepared. Now, you expect Todd to be well prepared. I expect Noah to be well prepared. But Catherine Tappan obviously was. But the whole crew was. And I think that they knew it was the first time out for something, and they wanted to really show everybody their big league, and that's where it should be, and they did that. I felt like they accomplished that in the first one. And yeah. I think it's great. And this is all part of what you can expect moving forward with, because CBS is going to do the same thing. I mean, you don't think it's going to be great to have a pregame show on CBS with Adam Zucker and Rick Neuheisel? Excuse me, there are a lot of smarts on that set. We've had both those guys on the show before. Neuheisel, to me, is... I think Neuheisel... he does a great job. I mean, not a good job, but a great job in the studio. I think they should give him more games. I just think he sees everything so well. Those are the best analysts. They see the whole chessboard. Jack Ham sees the entire chessboard. Okay? And you, the listener, are a great beneficiary of what Jack does. Same thing with Dick Girardi; sees the entire chessboard. And it makes a big difference for the viewer, the listener. Yeah, Todd's a lot like that. I think Rick Neuheisel's like that. So,
and CBS Sports PR put this out today. I would say no surprise. Big Ten on CBS, debut of Ohio State, Indiana. Reached record viewership across all platforms. CBS most watched week one game in 25 years. 4.646 million viewers, up 39% from last year. And Paramount Plus recorded most streamed week one game ever across households.
And Penn State peaked at 4.4 million viewers on NBC. And really, I mean, the Big Ten couldn't ask for better right out of the gate. Yeah, that's for the Big Ten. They've got to be thrilled with this entire deal. So, that's a huge debut for them. Last year, this Indiana Ohio State game was on Fox. It got 3.3 million viewers. This time it gets 4.6. And that's a great start. They have to split the contract this year. That's why there's less money in the contract this year than there is next year. Next year will include Oregon, Washington, UCLA, and USC. But it also means CBS will be doing a complete Big Ten schedule instead of having to split between the SEC and Big Ten. LSU, Florida State, 9.1 million. 8 million were anti-Brian Kelly.
Bingo!
Colorado, TCU, 7.2 million. Yeah. Ohio State, Indiana, 4.6. Overall, Penn State, West Virginia peaked at 4.4, ended up at 3.7. Nebraska, Minnesota, 3.4. North Carolina, South Carolina, 3.4. Oregon State, San Jose State at 3.3. Rice and Texas, 3.2. Rutgers and Northwestern at 2.6. And Virginia, Tennessee, 2.6. And this week, CBS will have another 3:30 time slot game. It's going to be UNLV against Michigan. So there you go. I mean, people are watching this stuff, and they're enjoying it. And Colorado's win over TCU, one of Fox's most watched college football games ever. You know, again, you're disgusted by this. You don't want anybody watching.
I mean, I admit I was one of those viewers.
Well, why were you watching? I thought you didn't like that.
I don't. I wanted to. I was just curious how he would do, aka if he would embarrass himself or not. And it was TCU that embarrassed themselves.
And they're going to get another huge audience with Nebraska this week. I'm telling you,
Oh, they definitely will now, especially that they won. And you know what? I think they win this game Saturday.
Oh, I do too. I think they win the game by 10 points. The problem with Nebraska is Nebraska can't score.
They could start 3-0.
Yeah, they could.
I forgot who they have next week, but the week after Nebraska, but I know it's a winnable game when I looked at it the other day.
Well, considering they go non-conference right away with back-to-back Power Fives, TCU and Nebraska, they should be playing somebody that's not quite in that category in week three.
Yeah, they host Colorado State week three. So, yeah, they can start 3-0.
Actually, that's a traditional game.
So true.
It's a backyard game. You know, Colorado State is... There have been some really good years when they had Sonny Lubick and people like that as the head coach. Sonny was a terrific coach.
I mean, just looking at the rest of the schedule, I think they could win six games now, legitimately, which I can't believe I'm saying that, but I just think it's true.
Wow.
I mean, after Nebraska and Colorado State, they're at Oregon versus USC, at Arizona State, I think that's a win. Versus Stanford, I think that could be a win. At UCLA, debatable. Oregon State, debatable. And Arizona. But I think Washington State's a win. And then they got Utah at home to finish, or at Utah, rather, to finish up the year.
Well, I will say this. He has put a lot of juice into college football. Right? I mean...
No denying it, yeah.
I mean,
One way or the other.
People are watching him. Even you watched, and I mean, it had to be... I mean, you had to be probably medicated.
Well, let's just say I was not thrilled when I first saw the score and saw what was happening.
They were well prepared. Look, he did a good job of coaching at Jackson State. It's not as if he hasn't been on the sidelines and can coach games. He can. I think they only have 10 remaining scholarship players from last year's team. And it's kind of a low number. But that is, and see, what's going to happen is this. I know people have asked about the about the APR scores and things like that. What's their APR score going to be after all this? Because transfers affect you. When you have, 75 transfers out, that does create an issue. Yeah? So, that's why the graduation rate part, they've got to change some of that stuff up. They really do. But, you know. All right, we'll take a break. We will come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Peter King on the show tomorrow, our high school roundtable on the show tomorrow, and then Merrill Reese and Bill Hillgrove on Friday. I talked about Jack Hamm and Dick Girardi looking at the full chessboard and understanding all the pieces. Then I brought this up to Doug, and Doug Birdsong, he says, unfortunately, the guy I work with, he says, thinks it's checkers. Like,
S-U-I-T, that spells suta!
I'm sorry. What's that horsey? I'm like, oh, no. I moved a castle and a horsey. I'm like, no. Oh. These are the people you work with. These are the people that you hang out with at the staff meeting.
I still get texts to this day every time we have DJ on during horse racing season. What did DJ have for this week?
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I know. He's every time you turn around, he's like, thank you. Nick the Greek. He wants to make some sort of bet and something. Thing is, though, he bet on himself in life. And, like, shouldn't that have told him something? I'm just kidding. All right. Okay. So, we got Chiefs and Lions tomorrow. Travis Kelce is iffy for the game. Hurt his knee, I guess. But didn't do any long-term damage, but there are a lot of people who think he's not going to play. Okay.
To me, I don't really think it matters. I think the Chiefs win by at least two possessions tomorrow.
Well, as long as you're not worried, I feel better.
I think the Lions are going to be. I think the Lions are going to win the North this year, but it's not going to be their night tomorrow night. I don't think.
Okay. Well, they're better than they were. It's just I just feel that part of it is Mahomes, of course, is always dynamic. I feel like Jared Goff is good. But he's capable of making his team good, but he's not capable of making his team great.
Exactly right. Yeah.
And it's not like he's with the 49ers, where Brock, the biggest thing that Brock Purdy has going for him is he's got Deebo Samuel, he's got Ayuk, he's got George Kittle, he's got Christian McCaffrey, he's got an offensive line, he's got a lot around him. Goff doesn't have as many pieces to the puzzle as he does.